Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Tony Leah of Unifor because there's been a pretty important development concerning all workers, actually, in the United States. But when word gets around, I assume we're all going to be talking about the issue of a shorter work week. And leading the charge in the United States is Bernie Sanders. And the United Auto Workers Union were among those being called to testify about why this is a good development and a necessary step. Quite interesting because, of course, it's something that unions all need to talk about. Is changing and improving laws governing hours of work, wages, what is called most, it needs to be talked about in detail, health and safety. We often speak of this as being something that the unions have been a little slow or weak, maybe the word is weak, in addressing. But we will talk to Tony about this in probably about 15, 20 minutes. I want to say that there's important news, and the Taylor Report tries to stay on top of stories, particularly if we've been following them. Last week and the week before, we spoke about Haiti. You will notice that Haiti remains in crisis. It is not the fault of people called gangs. And we want to be saying clearly, in my opinion, that frankly, all discussion of the armed groups and their opposition to a very corrupt and U.S. Dictated political class, their opposition to that is political, and that resistance is not. Should not be called gangs. Our media seems to enjoy using that word. It's like, as Ishmael Reed used to say about Americans' use of the N-word, it's like crack in their mouth. Somehow it excites them to call black working class people fighting for a better life, to call them gangs. And if we weren't already so involved in so many protests of all kinds here, but particularly that of focusing on the matter to do with Gaza, I'd like to see similar crowds protesting the racism involved in the discussion of the current crisis in Haiti. But to bring it up to date, that trip to Kenya has seemed to produce nothing. And the false prime minister has returned not to his own country, but to, they say, Puerto Rico. That is to say, the United States. That's U.S. territory. Not that it should be, but it is U.S. territory. So basically, that false prime minister is unable to and unwelcome in his own country. And the respect for the resistance is beginning to emerge because it's becoming unavoidable now to talk about who they are and what they want. And Kim Ives of Haiti Liberté helped us out in understanding it and in identifying some of the leaders. And inevitably, I got to say, Jimmy Barbecue now is being interviewed by mainstream media. And the issue is clear. They want foreign powers and their vassals to stay out of Haiti. And they want to have some type of new Congress in which they determine who will be the interim leaders and then the long-term leaders. it should be noted that this prime minister has gone through a little exercise, which you really have to watch them closely. He went through this thing of saying, I'm going to step down. And then everybody said, oh, you see, he's being a good fellow. And now the people should stop being in the streets. But the fine print of his statement was he will stay on until a new leadership is chosen. And he means by that, chosen by the United States, primarily, with the British and the French agreeing on the sidelines. Canada will do whatever the United States wants. And more concerning to our listeners, people really care about these things, is that they're trying to line up CARICOM to endorse whatever they do. The happiest thought that crosses my mind is that they're afraid to do what they'd like to do because the Haitian masses are in a sour mood, very unhappy, and they've been lied to, they've been played with, they've been cheated, and they're, what is it, Waylon Jennings says, lonely and ornery. They're not going to allow a foreign group to come in. And so maybe Haiti is on the brink of an important breakthrough. Let's hope so. Now, another matter that we talk about on the show is that situation in Rwanda. And there are two points I want to make sure we talk about or mention. There are developments. Victoire Ingabire, who is a woman who was living, she's a Rwandan, but she had been living abroad. She was not involved in the famous tragedy that struck Rwanda in 1994. So they cannot make a case against her because almost anybody who challenges the current leadership is accused of some criminal behavior from the year 1994, when there was a struggle for power and a ghastly human tragedy resulted. Victoire Ingabire is a solid believer in a democratic process and the openness of transparency of a democracy. And she returned to Rwanda and said that the current government, which is led by a general named Kagame, who was a general in Rwanda, and he was a general in Uganda prior to being a general in Rwanda, he seized power and he has never tolerated any opposition. So she challenged him, not with arms, but to say, I'm only here to try to make an open process in Rwanda so that the people could nominate me if they want, and I want to run for president to represent all the people, and I want to represent an actual open process. Well, she was arrested and she spent many years in jail. Eventually, because of international attention, she was allowed to leave the prison, but she has never been allowed to stand for president, nor, of course, to have a party that would run for any of the other offices. All this has to be heard and thought about because Canada provides a lot of help and I would say cover for the President General Paul Kagame. Now, she has been under basically home arrest. Several of her closest aides have been found dead. One of them was his head removed. Of course, one in government says they know nothing about how this would have happened, but it happened. Now, once again, the cycle of choosing a president has come up. The date is set. She announced her candidacy, and she was prevented from running. And I want to mention all this because there is a wide diaspora of Rwandans following closely. And every year they have an event in Brussels where they give journalists primarily recognition for their work in seeking to bring about, well, first of all, the truth of modern Rwandan history, and then also the fact that there's an absence of anything resembling a democracy in the country. I was, some years back, was given that award. Ann Garrison has won that award, very deservedly so. They have just had a meeting, this annual meeting, and next week on the Taylor Report, we're going to be reporting on all of that. But the special news, in my opinion, that needs to be known is that a new kind of coalition has formed in the Great Lakes, African Great Lakes area. And it is made up of the Congo, which is the largest country, and the real prize of Western imperialism, because it's Congo is mineral rich, population workers rich, and it's been always been dominated by diamond people, uranium, that material that you need for the mobile phone, the name of it escapes me, but coltan. Now, Congo is currently putting down the gauntlet to Rwanda, and because there is an armed group that has been dominating Eastern Congo, and it is armed and financed and directed by Rwanda, by the Paul Kagame's regime. But Congo has always been too weak to expel them. But Burundi has now joined the Congo. And Tanzania has joined in this common political goal of the removal of the Rwandan surrogates, M23 they're called, their removal. And I have been in receipt of a statement by an organization titled All for Rwanda. And it's very, very important. And we'll be talking about it in the future. But it is important news to know that this is going from a matter that where Congo was pretty much on its own to now having Burundi and Tanzania in alignment with them with a common demand. And the All Rwanda group is reminding everybody that there is more than a million Rwandans in East Congo, and they have a right, I'll bet there's an echo in this point, they have a right to return. And in supporting the Congo army, Tanzanian army, the Burundian army, that is their goal. So look for big things to happen. And one last thing before we go to Tony Leah of UNIFOR. Niger, which overthrew a French pawn some months back. It's been almost a year now. I can give you the date. And they said that they are tired of French colonialism, and they ordered the French to leave. You will remember that Macron refused to leave. But he realized, somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, it's best that you leave. But there's another country that has two bases, military bases in Niger. And from these bases, they have a drone and aerial surveillance of most of North Africa, and that's the United States. So when France left, people said, well, okay, if the French have gone, what about the United States? The news today is that the government of Niger has said the United States has to remove its military from their soil promptly, not a year from now, 6 months from now, say, get up and leave. So this is, frankly, I mean, this is, we had the phenomenon of colonialism, then we had this word neocolonialism. In each case, there was revolutionary, and we seem to be in a phase now, Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, that we're entering a phase where the neocolonialists are being told to leave. So that's all very good news, and we'll be following it closely. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll take a break and come back and talk about the need for a shorter work week with Tony Leah. I want to mention two things. I want to make sure we say something about Gaza. One element that's missing in the discussion, or is that I believe has to be mentioned, the Benjamin Netanyahu, much to the chagrin of I guess of Joe Biden, not terribly, and of Chuck Schumer and others, one of the positions they've taken is to say, well, you did Dresden, you did Hiroshima, which is about as grisly an excuse or way of arguing for the bombing and destroying of homes, mosques, hospitals, refugee camps by the Israelis. But there is, we should give Bibi his due. It's actually true that British colonialism was a great teacher in brutality, in hypocrisy, in greed, and in land grabbing. And it occurred to me that we ought to remind people not just of Balfour, because the British were the key element in establishing the Zionist group in Palestine. And according to Moshe Dayan and others who served under him, they were trained by a British Army officer. His name was Ord Wingate. Look him up, Ord Wingate. And Ord Wingate, according to some of the Jewish soldiers who served under him, was often frustrated with them because he said they were too sympathetic, too weak to know how to use a bayonet on a dirty Arab. That's the exact quote. He said, yeah, you're afraid to lift the left foot. You lift the left foot to get more oomph into the bayonet. And so he was training them. And I think they were good students. And there's no separating Israel from the British colonial system. The first time that they were put together under British tutelage was five months, if that, after the declaration of war by Britain on the Ottoman Empire. The Ottomans, Muslims, based in Istanbul, they, of course, the population was Muslim, but it was Ottoman rule. But the British cabinet had a meeting, and they said, we need to bring in this element that wants to build a homeland. By the way, they always said homeland. They didn't. Some of them said state, but usually they would use the expression homeland. But we should arm them, then, and they can serve our ends. So it began for the British in terms of implementation with the First World War and their desire. They said, we can take Palestine away from the Ottomans. And that should be the goal. So when Netanyahu and others say, oh, you the British, yes, he's right. It's like one criminal talking about another criminal. And they did learn to be like the masters of colonialism. If you look at the record of what they did to the people of Kenya, the people of India, it was absolutely ruthless. If you haven't seen it, you can see Indian patriots tied to the mouths of cannons and then blown to smithereens. So those who decided to go with them become part of the British enterprise. They learned from the masters. And so I'm going to give Bibi credit. He's right. He's like the British imperialists. Cut from the same cloth. And it's not just Balfour. It was before. And incidentally, Ord Wingate was such a rabid Zionist himself that even the British said, we got to get him out of there because he's such a maniac and he hates Arabs on sight. And they actually had to remove him because he's too much. So in a way, when you watch Chuck Schumer, he's like talking like the British imperialists. Bibi is too much. He's like giving the game away. A game of hypocrisy, land grabbing, and brutality.